I didn't agree to that.
Oh, well, this is homeschool. We're back with a week off, and it took, and we couldn't even find a guest. nobody loves us.
If you want to be a guest, call in.
Yeah, yeah.
Just hit us up. We are desperate for people to tell our yucks to, and our friends are catching on.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, you just need us to tell jokes to. You didn't really want to talk to us and catch up.
You don't
want to
talk, nope. Yeah.
Well, I'm Corey Michaelis. That's Andrew Rivers. This is a podcast where the two of us do monologue jokes for typically a guest who's awesome, and they laugh or ignore us or whatever. So this really won't feel that different to do jokes for nobody today. So we don't have to introduce a guest. Let's introduce shows we have coming up. Fort Wayne, Indiana for you.
Summit City Comedy Club this weekend.
Very exciting. I'll be at Oklahoma Bricktown Comedy Club in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma this Sunday with Josh Firestein. And on a cruise for a couple weeks. And I mean, really, ultimately, if you happen to listen to this and live anywhere near Everett, Washington, my monthly show at the theater is April 15th. And I'd love to have you out to that in 2 weeks. And anything else, Andrew?
Nope.
All right, let's do the jokes.
But oh, Carco Theater in Renton there.
Sure,
Saturday,
yeah, that's
potentially. Hypothetically.
If he
unless
replies.
We're here back in 7 days, because
hey, we'd like to start our promotion. Cool. Yeah, let's just assume that's happening. Put that out into the world. Day May 7th, Carco Theater, Rent, and let's do our jokes. But first, 3 second pause because we don't know how to edit things.
I like what you're doing with your fingers there, Corey.
All right.
All right. Hey, put a finger down and pinch me in the ass. It's your lucky day. We're back with a new episode. We missed last week because it was St. Patrick's Day and Corey has a drinking problem.
Yeah, my problem is I didn't have enough drinks.
Well, you can't pinch me. I've got green in my lungs. I'm high as shit right now. Happy late St. Patrick's Day anyway. How's it going, Corey? You feeling the luck of the Irish?
No, my my college bracket this year is toast, and it was in the first weekend. Who the fuck loses to a team called the Peacocks?
You can't say peacock anymore. It's peafowl. We don't assume gender.
Well, pee-vagina. they can burn in hell, is what I have to say.
Well, that's what happens when you get denied by St. Peter. But speaking of foul pee, you performed in a movie theater built in 1941 this weekend. How did that smell?
Lukewarm. Wasn't great. But, you know, it's official. We're a couple of sellouts. You know, at least our shows are. Screw the industry. We're going to keep producing comedy shows in sketchy suburbs and mega towns.
Hey, I'll take some industry love. That's right, though. Support our careers until we tell one political joke you disagree with and then, you know, unfollow me. But hey, if you like stand-up comedy, give me a shot. Subscribe on YouTube. If you don't, leave a bunch of mean comments anyway. It helps the algorithm.
Always plugging. That's my sex approach and not my hair advice. But aren't you going to maybe promote like Instagram and TikTok or something?
Well, I'll still post on those things, but I can't use TikTok. The algorithm's too good. It tracks your eyes to see how long you actually look at the screen. Instagram trained me to just not hit like on the butt photos, but you stare at some tits on TikTok too long, and that's all you're going to see forever.
My eyes are up here, but they
are not.
You didn't even put them in the video. Those blinders they have for horses, couldn't you maybe invent something like that for social media? Covers your eyes, but still lets you see it, you know?
I could have borrowed your blinders because you're blind to the facts.
Oh,
I can't believe you held a comedy show 5 hours after a shooting a couple miles away from the venue. Those people who canceled were right.
Well, if we had to cancel every time there was a shooting in Everett, we'd never have a show. So,
well, there are lots of shootings in the maggot towns, but it's mostly just the deer.
It was all a pretty good night, pretty good weekend, the whole thing. Greg Beechler and Niraj Srinivasan opened the show in North Bend. I was surprised a mountain town like North Bend enjoyed brown guys that much, you know? Maybe they thought they were Sherpas.
Well, you see, black guys are good in small maggot towns because they're used to checking the colors of their outfit before they leave the house, you know? Yeah, that's right. My hat matches my shoes. Oh, shit, it's red. I gotta change that. I'm in a blue city tonight.
Yeah, Greg approved that joke, by the way. But same thing for bald guys like me. Do you think, do they think I, like, hate them? Do they think I agree with them? Is Chris Rock performing in town?
Whoa, wow. Holy smokes.
Here Look we go. Out. We're going in. Hot
Man,
take.
Man, of all the people to freak out at an award show and punch somebody, it wasn't even Kanye West. Will Smith is so likable. It feels like black Tom Hanks punched somebody.
Well, you can't just go around slapping a comedian. This isn't the Wild Wild West, right? There are rules. I can't believe everyone just sat there and it moved on so quickly. Like, nothing happened.
Yeah, well, Harvey Weinstein's won 81 Oscars, so Hollywood's just doing what it does best, pretending assault didn't happen. This is going to embolden hecklers, though, I fear. I'm scared for my weekend in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Really? I've seen your ticket sales. You'd be lucky to have someone rush the stage. I'd have to be there first. But some comedy clubs actually have security, and what are the chances you say something that provocative anyway, you know?
Well, we don't work a lot of comedy clubs anymore. I mean, you think the 15-year-old boy working a popcorn machine at the North Bend Theater is going to stop a melee if they don't like your Tiger King joke?
No.
It's a good thing Chris Rock was the host. He's got those huge lips to cushion the blow. Two giant airbags. Come on.
Greg Breitzler approved that
we
joke.
We can make fun of faces. And Andrew, you look like Drew Barrymore's cousin. Come on.
Amy Schumer. Yeah, by the way, if she makes that joke, you know, that he doesn't attack her, she'd kick his ass. Chris Rock is like 130 pounds. Amy's a sturdy gal.
He's the best actor, and he couldn't pretend to play it cool for 30 seconds. But also, it's a dumb joke. I don't know. I mean, both of them were some bad boys. I hope there's not a sequel.
Yeah, to G.I. Jane? I know people are saying you can't make fun of a disability, but Rock is so short. Will Smith was actually the one punching down, if you ask me. All I know is future award shows are going to make sure there are 6 degrees of separation. Otherwise, someone's going to get a concussion. See what we're doing here?
I don't get it. Well, you know, if we're allowed to slap comedians for bad jokes, that explains why Carrot Top's been doing steroids.
All right. Well, if they're going to target hacks, you better start working out more, Pudgy. I think Carrot Top should host next year, by the way, wearing a bulletproof vest. I mean, he is a prop comic after all.
So how do we handle this at future shows? You know, I'm glad we have a week to kind of calm down. It feels like there's tension.
Well, I'm just letting you know right now, if you ever refer to me as a sexy, gorgeous, badass, bald action movie character in a joke, I swear to God, I'll get my girlfriend to smack the shit out of you.
Okay, so, but how is it not rude to give Liza Minnelli a standing ovation? Oh, hey, look what we can do.
That was the worst thing of the night, I thought. You had one recently. I've never had a standing ovation. Maybe it's just because they're all being polite and they don't want to show off that they can do squats when they know that I can't.
Wow, he's been standing there for 30 minutes. It must be so tough on him. I think I'm going to announce at every show that I've hired a comedy air marshal like they have on planes. You know, they're in the audience, they're wearing plain clothes, and they're closer to the cockpit than you are, so don't try anything.
Just look for the guy who looks like he's being paid to laugh. That's everybody, actually. But speaking of 9/11, how was New York? You had a big audition or something? I don't know.
Well, look who still follows me on Instagram.
Well, the algorithm knows I like to stare at your tits. COVID has been good to them.
I get a little anxious talking about it and posting about it because what if I don't get it? And I've been telling everyone, I had such a great set. They loved me. I don't know.
Well, maybe you can be someone's inspiration to quit comedy. Right. Hey, kids, turns out being funny doesn't help. Go home, sell insurance.
Well, shit. Well, where do I start? I went to L.A. first to hobnob with the industry, but then I realized I was in Burbank.
Oh, you can go on Price is Right. You have a better chance of getting discovered at a movie theater in Burbank or getting someone to hob your knob at a movie theater there.
Those are low chances, so that sounds good. But you don't have to be a psychic medium to see that joke coming. But hey, you know, Burbank's better than a movie theater in North Bend. What did you think of the lady who performed in front of that broken movie screen?
Right. She's also a psychic. She must be a really good one to know the projector was going to break. And sure, we're all laughing at her now, but I bet she's getting that Netflix spot before you do, you know?
If she's a psychic, she should have known those jokes were going to bomb. But yeah, the show was good. And afterwards, Chris Titus's manager was there and a couple other big wigs. They weren't important or anything. They just had huge wigs.
Finally, a manager that can give me some advice. I could use a big wig.
Hey, he complimented my perfect comedy. And then when I told him I was trying to get Titus on TikTok, he said, that stuff doesn't really matter. And that's when I realized I wasn't getting on Netflix. You know, I do perfect white guy comedy for out of touch people who still think stand up comedy is a career.
Ugh, yeah, you're so good, Andrew. Just like all those 90s comics I used to represent that are irrelevant now. But kidding aside,
anyway, here's Titus, and
don't sell yourself short here. You know, like Chris Rock, you make a pretty decent living selling T-shirts while opening for TikTokers and TV stars from the 80s and actors that got me too. You know, it's
I'm doing okay. You're right. This feels very sustainable. You know, as long as my best friend owns enough comedy clubs to keep me busy half the year, I can rent out some small theaters around town and work my ass off every day of my life to make $70,000.
Oh, you make money. That's great. Well, so I actually didn't realize you were such bad financial.
You listen to the IRS, please. I'm joking. I don't make any money.
I see. Okay. Maybe I should quit and sell insurance or something.
Yeah.
Be an inspiration to myself. You're just trying to seem cool, I guess. I mean, but that guy really, like, he really thought TikTok doesn't matter. I mean, I know the comedy club's called Flappers, but are all the agents stuck in the 1920s as well?
Well, hey.
Minstrel show, can't do that.
Oh, God. Here we go again. So anyway, I get to New York, and I got a really good deal on a hotel. It's right by the World Trade Center and had amazing view. I was on the 40th floor. Birds hit the window a lot more than I would have imagined.
Yeah, easy to have a better view when there's no towers in the way. But
thank God.
Were you walking around
Allah.
Your room?
Praise Allah.
Were you walking around in your hotel room naked a bunch? Maybe those birds just saw a huge worm in your room. Relatively huge, but...
Well, relative to an actual worm, but maybe it's because I don't go to New York that often, or this new strain of weed I'm using is really good, but I kept staring out the window like, this is where 9/11 happened. That's crazy. Someone drove a plane into a building. My mind is blown.
Oh, I thought, okay. Netflix is a joke if they selected you for an audition.
Hey, you should see who else was on the lineup. Every other set was like, I'm a biracial, bipolar, non-binary, black Jew from Kentucky. Hard to watch, honestly.
Bipolar bear. Well, white guys are over, man. Maybe you should just transition to give yourself a better chance. I mean, you kind of look like you already are a little bit. That's a patchy beard and long hair. People in these mega towns have to be whispering about it. Like, ain't that Olympic swimmer trying to do comedy now?
Yeah.
Who does he think he is or whatever?
Hey, one of the producers from that show, Bring the Funny, was working the showcase. And he came to apologize for kicking me off the show. And it was all NBC's fault, and he felt so bad. I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, well, he felt bad, but not bad enough to ever reach out to you before now. It literally ghosted you from TV. If an ex-girlfriend reached out after saying nothing to you for like 4 years, you wouldn't accept. That's
actually
a bad example for you.
Leah, call me, please. I still miss you. It's important.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't poke fun at your disability, right? I know you had a couple hot dates planned. Did anything work out, or did they all get COVID at the same time and avoid you? Or
yeah, they must have gotten it from the annual "oh shit, we accidentally flirted with Andrew and now he's in my town, what do I do" meeting that they were all at. And no, none of my Raya dates turned up, showed out.
Actually, I'm in that group text actually, but Raya isn't that like celebrity dating app the DJs are on and whatnot?
Yeah, I almost exclusively date actresses now, if you count women who fake their orgasms, but I don't know. I did meet a lady a couple weeks ago that I still have the hots for, and boy, what is it in the water in Spokane that certainly not birth control, but
well, spill it, girl. What's going on here?
Well, she's been previously married, but not divorced.
Oh,
her husband killed himself.
Ah, is that better than still being married?
I don't know.
Sounds like you're her type, though. Is she good with noodles?
Hey, no comment. Hopefully she can get it hard.
Soften my noodle.
Soften my noodle. Put it in your mouth at 2 in the morning.
Boop, boop, ba-doo.
Boop, boop, that's nothing new with anything. So
that was a made-up hypothetical joke there at the end, but... good times, yeah. So
12 listeners are going to be very confused, but our guest canceled last minute here, so we're just going to talk for a few minutes and catch up, even though we spent an hour doing that while we messaged people asking to do the podcast, so we have nothing else to actually talk about, but...
Well, I mean, we could. North Bend was great. The after party was fun. I was curious. I mean, you had chatted with the lady. She seemed nice. She had a friend. I was worried about her friend.
Oh, yes. She had a plan.
Oh.
I've never been. I'm usually the one stalking and doing the. But she, sweet lady.
Bought a ticket, VIP, front row, get there early.
Well, she bought early bird tickets, though, so she just scooped her way to the front row.
Wow, she's a scam artist.
Can't trust these hoes. Sat in the front row videoing me. Oh, I'm trying to get a good clip to share and plug your thing. And I'm like, I'll plug you up later. And... Well, anyway, after the show, she was DMing me during the show, and I was going, okay, I thought she was messaging me before, and I was like, is this a flirty thing, or is this, who knows? I had to try not to assume anyone is interested in me at all.
Yeah, I mean,
because I'll be wrong 98% of the time, and... so after the show, we got invited to a closed brewery, right?
Yeah, yeah. They had a
they just were like, come through.
Party, so, yeah.
So I started walking. I had my hand in my coat pockets, and she just took that as an opportunity to lock arms.
Saw that,
and walk across the parking lot in public. And I was kind of like, okay, well, guess that answers that question, if this was a flirty message at all.
Right, right.
And she was with a friend. They carpooled.
Uh-huh.
And her friend, did you talk to her much?
Never spoke a word to her.
Didn't seem like she was a fan of the political humor.
Oh.
From my secondhand account.
Uh-huh.
Made a couple comments. They're just being rude, and they're just... I mean, I get to joke, but just, I mean, you know, something
what
to
even,
that effect.
What even joke would that be, I wonder?
Who know? I mean, to me, the jokes are so silly that it's like, could you possibly take offense at a MyPillow joke or a vaccine joke or a Tiger King or a... Yeah. You make it a Hillary Clinton joke. You make it.
I mean,
like,
I flip it back and
how many times do you have to play both sides of the joke to not offend the most sensitive fucking. Anyway.
I see. Interesting. I never spoke to her.
She wasn't a fan. And she was real dragging her feet to the after party, even. And her friend had to be like, come on. I just have one drink and come hang out.
Oh, interesting. Funny.
And so I think Greg talked to her a little bit, and
she was around that little group, and then I saw her.
They seemed to have a decent time, and then this gal pulled me to the couch here for a minute, and so we just sat chatting, and then her friend came over and said, "Hey, I gotta go," and so she said, "Oh well, do you want to take my car? I kind of want to hang out a little while longer." And she was like, "Oh well, I guess if you want to." And she kind of looked at me and I was like, sure, I'll give you a ride home. I know you've had this planned out for a month, apparently. So
you didn't get your friend in it on the plan. It doesn't sound like, though.
Well, I think that was the thing that she said, thanks for doing this for me. And thanks. So there was a couple comments like that, that were like, thanks for coming along with my crazy idea or something like that. And so I think that this was predetermined.
I see.
And then she said, okay, great. I've got to go make some arrangements. And then she went to the bathroom. And then she presumably at this point calls home to tell her 13-year-old son.
Yeah.
Mommy's got company. Stay in your room and don't come out, and turn the volume up. And
oh God.
So at this point, this is me reliving your Bremerton story, where I'm like, all right, well, I guess this is about to happen, you know? And
yeah.
And you're going, way to go, Andrew. Come on. Yeah. Go get some. And I'm going, I never wanted, you know, whatever.
Say so, I guess.
Get it. You know, this is what normal people do, but I'm not thrilled. Sweet. She seems great. Get to her place. Have a great time. We sit at a fire pit without a fire on some outdoor furniture that's soggy. Mm. And so my pussy's wet. And she squats and pees in the front yard. And anyway, and so we have a nice roll in the hay there for a few minutes, and then she makes me a meal, and the problem is people don't know when to quit the drinking. You know, they keep drinking all night, and then they get sloppy, and then it ruins every. You know, if we stayed at that somewhat tipsy level of the bar. Here's the thing that I
12 drinks. Like, I'm gonna fuck a comedian.
Right, exactly. Like a quick distraction of like a little detour of like. Oftentimes, I meet a lady at a show, but then it's like she's already 5 drinks in, and I'm sober-ish, you know, and so we're just not at the. Even if we keep drinking, it's like I've either got to double my intake to catch up, or you've got to stop. Because now we're sloppy and whatever. So I think after, you know, as soon as we got home, she made herself a drink, and then she had a couple, you know, she had a drink in with the meal. And then she was like, I'm just going to pour myself a glass of wine, and mixing all sorts of beers at the place. And she wanted another cocktail even. And, you know, whatever.
Right.
So
is she drink pushing on you and throughout this?
Yeah. She, you know, not taking no for an answer is the theme here. So, she goes, what do you want to eat? And I say, oh, something like this would be fun. And then she makes the opposite of that. And then, you know, whatever. So then I'm enjoying the meal, and, there's a debate about if there's too much pepper. And going, yes, there's a lot, but it's okay. I wouldn't order this dish again, but next time I'm at this restaurant, I'm not filing a complaint. I'll pay for my
next
tab.
Time. Oh, you shouldn't have said next time.
Oh, no. I'll say whatever I can just to get out of there. Yeah, so that, but then it's like, you know, this is where... We've already had sex at this point, so it's, you know, I feel like the consent has already been a thing and whatever, you know, so that's, but it's just, you know, we're walking in circles and talking in circles, and I'm repeating myself, and she's mumbling, and, you know, it just is clear that she's just not all the way there anymore. And so she's going, I think it tastes great. And I'm going, okay, well,
cool.
Awesome. You know, and she's going, you're right. There's too much pepper. And I'm like, I mean, you're right. And she's going, awesome. but it's, you know, it's actually fine. That's how it's supposed to be. And I'm like, okay, great. Cool. It's fine. You know, whatever. And, you know, she's just not, when this happens, I always start to get a little rude because it's fun to me because they don't pick up on it. And that's fun for me. And it's also testing them to be like, how sober are you? How with it are you? How, you know, what's going on?
Okay.
So I make a couple comments and she doesn't really pick up on any of it. And I'm going, all right, I'm looking at the clock. The meal was great, even though it was too peppery. I was really hungry at, you know, 2 in the morning. I put in a lot of work there and exercise. And so at this point, I'm going, boy, it's getting late. I got to get out of town and get busy. So I go grab my pants and stuff and start putting it on. And then I come back to the table to say, hey, hug, goodbye, good night. And she's just staring at her phone and she's like, read this message. And I'm like, oh my God. She's like, does this mean what I think it means? And it's her friend that borrowed her car saying, someone just hit me. I'm okay. The police are coming, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God.
It wasn't my fault. This guy jumped out in front of me. The car is not drivable. Okay. The airbags went off, but I'm okay. I went to the ER. I got some pain medicine. I'm going to sleep.
Oh no, she's gonna be addicted to Oxycontin.
So now she's freaking out, and I'm going, oh God, because she was going to her friend. Hey, are you sure you wanna? Are you okay? Are you all right? What's going on? Yeah. Who knows?
Passed out, and then, hey, I need my car, actually, but...
Yeah, and I mean, like, even if it's someone else's fault, and it's still, like, you're going to have to go through insurance, you're going to have to do all this stuff, you have to talk to people, you have to, even if someone else hits you, you're going to have to get a rental car, you have to get 6 months worth of whatever, it's a hassle. As someone who... got an oil change and they left the cap off and blew my engine up. And
that's right.
I had to drive to Montana to get they were like, you can't have the rental car for more than a month at a time. So you have to drive back and check out again and bring it back. And I was like, can't we just have a phone call, fax a thing?
Yeah.
So I know, I'm like, this is a ton of, it's not even like, your friend is okay. The car can be replaced. It's just fucking annoying, you know?
Right.
And so I'm like, God, I get it. So she's like,
I'm glad you're okay.
Hang with me for a minute. I got to.
What about the car?
Yeah. Whatever.
No bad time to leave.
Yeah. You know, so I hang out for another 40 minutes probably. She wants to sit on the soggy couch again. And this one was indoors, but we banged on it. Come on. And but anyway, I don't know. I get out of there, and I think that's that. There was a lot of like, will I ever see you again? And will I ever?
Well, see, you can't talk that way to her. Just kidding.
I mean, yeah, well, you know. I probably, with the thought that she's probably not going to remember this point of the evening, I'm going, yeah, I'll see you, you know, we can hang out again, which I am not opposed to hanging out or you know, there's probably, I think she's more interested in a romantic thing, you know, and she leaned in on that heavily of, you know, my schedule and your schedule and who knows and, you know, whatever. And
you were like, great point. Probably not going to work out.
Yeah, tough scheduling. I mean, we're only going to see each other every couple months here. And she was like, if I don't go to this show, I'm not going to meet you for another 4 months, maybe. And who knows? And I'm like, weren't you glad that you did it? And so, you know, that was a fun adventure, but
kind of, you said it, but it's kind of like it's sort of what you kind of try to avoid, all that when you
well, you know, it just
late and it's a
it
whole,
is enthusiastic,
can't just be
but not necessarily on my end, and you know, that's all fine. I mean, at any point I could nut up and go, hey, I gotta, you know what, you're a little drunk, and you know, we'll just reschedule
right.
for another, you know. And at any point, you know, even at the bar, she's going, oh, you don't have to give me a ride, I'll catch an Uber. And I'm going, nah, I know it's North Bend at midnight, no one's gonna be around, like, it's just, let me drive you home, I know what's about to happen, and I don't want to, but whatever, you know. And also, there's a chance to turn it around still, you know, she's a pretty good looking girl, and you know, I'm open to possibilities, but it's hard to leave the situation in the middle of it when you're like, you know, what are you gonna
probably
do?
Probably wasn't quite a match, but yeah, that's interesting. That's the thing of like, yeah, I don't know. I men sometimes sleep with women and would prefer not to, but then we're probably still the jerk in that scenario somehow, I assume, you know.
I mean, sure. I mean, all yeah, all the possibilities are there, and you know, if it were reverse, you know, I'm sure women feel that same pressure of like, ah, I should just bang this guy to get it over with, and
right,
that's, if that weren't for that, I would never get laid. So you know, what are you gonna do? So
Leah,
call me, I swear. I didn't know what I had, and it's all it's fine. I don't know, there's no chance anyone listens to this that knows anybody, so
yeah, no,
yeah,
but, yeah,
you know, yeah, I'm saying so. It's all jokes. I'm just I'm over it. It took 2 years, but it, you know, the last two have been good.
Now I am.
So, oh, Corey's aware, but
now I am over.
Well, yeah, now I'm
well, that was,
I've got a new girl that I'm in love with that's that I'm never gonna see, but that's all right.
It's also in, you know, showing beautiful views in Spokane, but yeah, well, it was, I mean, that was good, two good shows and two good little after get togethers, and haven't I mean, yeah, I like a show that goes great, you have a few drinks, and then not hungover the next morning. I mean, that is a good, and I had two straight nights of that, so that's a pretty good weekend for me.
Yeah, you were you know, I stopped by Everett, by the way. Zoltan Cass is just a monster comic.
Yeah, follow.
Just fucking an asshole of a person, but sweet guy, sweet comic. I was impressed with his premises. He's a real, you know, I kind of stole this analogy, but I think he's the he's just that fastball down. He's not trying to trick you with a lot of misdirects or a lot of whatever, but it's just so funny that it doesn't really matter that there's no trickery going on, you know?
Huge, big, yeah. Just a premise.
Just a premise and a good punchline and a well thought out explanation and and fun word choice and little act outs and little, a real unvaccinated cough. Ah, it's fun. I like that a lot. And you, you know, you're sweating your ass off all night running around, you know, 17 comics to prepare, 1,000 audience members to wrangle, and it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I could probably do less or somehow do
something.
You gotta
get a headband just to keep all, you know, you were like, you were in a sweatsuit and joggers and
I had a headband on me. I almost wore it, but I was like, that's like a little extra.
But you were working hard that night, and
well, you're
no one's gonna appreciate.
So you know, part of building something is sort of being present in the face of it, and I don't mind that, the attention. That's fine with me. It don't bother me at all. But also, like, that kind of stuff is what makes people keep coming back, and as opposed to viewing it as a one-off. And I need people to come back. So yeah, little face of it. And even like the May show is Joe Dombrowski, and I'm like trying to figure out how to make sure that I'm the one hosting it, because that's the way it needs to be, but I don't want to step on toes, but also it's should be that way. That was the agreement. And so anyway, but April got a show, June we got a book, and we'll just see how it plays out. But
I think we're gonna try and get fun, like a local theater run, you know, like you know, two nights here, two nights there.
You'd really hook some people up, make them real happy. Clams. I mean, Zoltan was very, very happy that night, and that was fun to sort of help, you know, make.
And Monica Nevy, by the way, monster comic as well. Funny lady. Yeah. And she's got an album or a special coming out with Helium Comedy soon.
Yeah, I saw who else was on that too. It's pretty, it was already exciting. And then I saw some folks who were on it, and I was like, oh, it's really cool to be a part of that group. And Helium's a great, yeah.
I'm real proud of our scene. Anyway. You know, I think we got some really cool, good comics that are working hard and really doing it. And I'm proud to be a part of it. And I hope, you know, people aren't embarrassed that I'm a part of it either. But
well, I was saying recently how bad it was. Not comic wise, but I'm realizing it is independently very good. Like, yes, we are all, there's a bunch of comics who are doing a great job of self-producing, yeah, putting stuff together, helping out other comics, bringing comics in.
That's a great way to phrase it. There's no scene of like togetherness, but
right. And I don't. And we're betting on ourselves maybe a little bit more. Like, there's other scenes that maybe have like a cool 50 seater that they produce every week, and you go and you can do it, and that's great. And we don't maybe have quite that, but we have all these people who are going, well, yeah, but we have a 250 seat theater and a 800 seat theater and a 300 seat theater and a thing that pays you and a thing that'll, you know, whatever. And hey, set some up with this person, they know what they're doing, and these guys are running this cool thing that you know. So, and then pandemic wise you know, coming back from it, I think there's some good stuff. I just don't hereafter is a thing, and I don't know nothing about it or who is involved. And seems like it's cool at the Crocodile, but
yeah, I don't know. That's a new thing, but
I don't know if we need an AA comedy club in Seattle. Maybe we do. Maybe that should happen. But
I think so. I got one in Tacoma. We need one on the East Side.
Probably, yeah. Something.
I mean, if someone from North Bend, you know, I made that joke at the show and they clapped before I got to the punchline because they just so earnestly enjoyed the premise of like, you don't have to drive all the way to Seattle. And they're like, fuck yeah. And I'm like, to get a DUI. And they're like, also funny joke, also cool, but yeah, you know, we just don't
want to drive to Seattle.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if you're a comedy fan, what are your options? You know, there's nothing in Bellevue anymore. Really? There's nothing.
No.
Issaquah has a winery show, you know, whatever, Vino Bella. But you know, that's not really an enjoyable venue to, you know,
just Wednesday night, once a month. Yeah, yeah.
Just a Wednesday night thing. It's a fine bar gig.
Well, this is probably boring to people, but nobody's listening anyway. We're just talking to each other. Well, yeah, head us up. We're the guys. We're the people. It's me and Andrew and Monica and a couple others are the people. If you know anybody that's really good at comedy and wants to come to Seattle, we'll set them up. We're givers. That's the other thing. I think we're all kind of givers. We're willing to be like, what do you got going on? I'm going to support. Oh, Travis Nelson's running great stuff.
Bo and Chris, they're running great stuff.
Yeah. So Travis asked me, he's just texted me yesterday. Hey, I'm doing a new comedy newsletter. I'm going to produce every whatever, how often, what shows you got coming up?
And I'm like, great.
Right. He's like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know if it's going to work. What, I'll figure it out, though.
I think that's a great thing that it takes people a little too long to realize in comedy is like, just start something and try it and fuck up and fail faster, you know?
Love it. Well, tonight I gotta get ready for a big show tonight in Everett again, Chad Daniels. And then, Tuesday night. There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
At the Everett Theater?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to come to that.
Yeah, come on out. I mean, come on out. Tuesday night show, because he's going to do Tacoma Wednesday, Thursday, and Spokane Friday, Saturday. And then he and I are going to do a little golfing tomorrow. And
what time is the show? 7?
Great question. Great question. Coey will find out and text you what time the show is, and hey, follow us on all the things. I'm Corey Michaelis Comedy, and Andrew is Andrew J. Rivers on all of the things. This is Homeschool Podcast.
What do you think Seahawks here, Oscars, and should we have comedians? Are comedians over? Is that over for us at the award shows, at the White House thing?
Oh, good. Yeah, let's have a quick. Yeah, I didn't want to go totally all in on Will Smith and Chris Rock. We did the jokes. But yeah, I don't. I think we should keep doing it. Keep having them. Keep pressing folks, you know.
Comedy is a boundary pushing thing in nature.
I'm hopeful that we don't really treat the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing like this is a bigger commentary on America. And the
I world. Mean, it's going to be an Oprah special in a week, and it's going to be a fucking.
I just thought it was his speech. I thought was so gross. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just not. Maybe I have zero. Not empathy. I have a lot of empathy, but maybe I'm just like not emotional at all.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about that. Like
my wife, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm sitting there with memory, and she's like, oh God, get out of here. What's he was? I read that it wasn't even on the joke list. He riffed it. It seems she's wearing green.
I mean, that's
she's also wearing all green, by the way. It's just he riffed a thing here's what I said. I go, take that to the bar, take that into a bar. You're hanging out with your buddy at a bar and your wife's there. And, Jada, can't wait for G.I. Jane 2. That look, here's what you would go. Hey, dude. She's fucking got a disease that causes that. So maybe don't. And you'd go, oh shit, I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And they'd be like a little bit annoyed still probably, but you have a drink and you move on with life.
If he hugs her and pulls her in and gives her a kiss, I think that's the better response, to be like, fuck yeah, I love you. You're my girl.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I did. So I don't know, but I just, I mean, Trump wimped out on the, hey, you, there you go. Your emotional support
award.
Where's that?
That's what those. I mean,
it is. What
is the purpose of award shows? Are they necessary for the culture? Are they?
I mean, there's some.
Are they just promoting the shows? You know, they're promoting their movies again.
It's interesting.
Are they causing world peace with their speeches and going, you're not alone, everyone loves you, and if you've ever thought about killing yourself, I've been there too.
Go to NACA conference and here if you want to. So that's interesting, but then there's like people do that with sports too. It's like, what do we need sports for? Why isn't it? It's like, well, people enjoy watching it. And I know there's talk of like, everybody hates the Oscars, nobody watches, everybody hates the Olympics, nobody watches. And it's like, well, it wouldn't be on TV if it didn't make some money for people. They would go, fuck it, we don't need this. We're not gonna. So it enough people watch that it makes money. So
for now,
the award show, no, but it makes money, so it's going to keep happening until it doesn't make money. So, and people are entertained by it. I'm entertained by
sports. Huge. It's got a big butt on that.
It does have a nice round. Jeez. Huh.
With dunk-a-dunk.
Yeah. Maybe that's a woman. Maybe that's Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh, that's what that is. No penis, right?
This is my dildo, so...
Yeah, okay. I thought I smelled something, but I don't know. I just bring back the White House Correspondents' Dinner and make fun of those people, and that's entertaining, and it gets...
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, we haven't had that yet. That's interesting.
It's gone because Trump took it away. He wimped out. Didn't want it, so
well,
I don't know.
Biden,
he could bring it back. I don't know if he will. It's probably low on his priority list.
He's asleep at the wheel.
So I don't know. I mean, I just, more comedy the better as far as I'm concerned. And so but also we have some of the most irreverent comedians who've ever lived performing for thousands and thousands of people on big, long tours. So I don't know. And then I see people being like tweeting like, oh, you know, white men just need to shut the fuck up right now. Only black women should be, black people should be speaking about this. And I'm like, you're white. You're a white woman that tweeted that. You're a woman who's Indian who tweeted that. I'm like, is that not... okay, that's, I agree. I actually agree, but I'm not saying a word about it. You are.
You really took a strong stance on all the topics there.
Not tweeting at me. Well, I waited till the end when it was over. We'd already, I do know how to edit things. So I might. What do you think?
Well, they're self-aggrandizing. Is that a word?
I've heard it, but
yeah. I don't find it particularly that interesting. I think it's one of those old school things, but I think that they should keep. I think it's just like, there's so much entertainment options now. It's like, why would I watch that if I don't care?
100%.
I was not going to watch it at all. And then I saw everything freaking out and I was like, oh shit. Like, you're oh great. This is on, it's going to occupy everyone else. I can sit alone and read and write and do whatever.
I didn't even watch any of the movies. Like I saw Coda and,
my favorite joke was, good night for talking with your hands or something like that.
Ah, great tweet. Yeah.
Great joke. There was a bunch of, I'm happy, you know, but there's gotta be, I don't know. I don't, I mean, the comedians bomb every time and they take the gig and it's good money and exposure and they hate it, but then they get kicked off for having a mean tweet and there's just hypocrisy everywhere and it's not a good situation, but it's also, you know, elite class of people
patting themselves on the back and
yeah, it's everything that everyone says it is, but also it is good to
be proud,
you know,
of
win an award and to show, you know, and to,
I mean, there's no respect for comedy on the actual show and then they have comedians come on and get in trouble for making, it's like a whole, you know, they never I mean, I've heard a few other, I think Sam Morrell says it all the time. He's like, Eddie Murphy should have won best actor for those Clump movies or the first one, or whatever. I mean, that's insanely good acting. Like, that's amazing. But that's not what counts. And so they finally, on the Golden Globes, added, like, they separate best picture between, they go comedy musical category and non-comedy musical category. And they do two best pictures, I think, right? I don't fucking know. Doesn't matter.
I don't even watch any of the things, so I don't.
I don't even check it the next day. But I know people who love it and they have fun with it. And they pick their best picture of the year. And they pick all the categories. And they have a nice.
Yeah, I mean,
night
some people go football, stupid, NCAA, dumb. Why do I give a shit about these spoiled athletes, entitled pieces of shit? And I'm like,
what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Got a point.
And they're all.
What's the point of anything? I mean, real, you know, getting nihilistic over here, but like.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares about any of it? So fuck everything and do everything for you. And
well, some people feel that way about comedy, so that's why I'm like, don't take away a thing if people like it and they're paying
money
for it.
Especially our podcast. Boy.
Don't take away things that people are paying money for and enjoy. Just let them happen. Let them keep happening. Whatever. Hey, that's glad you're coming.
We really solved everything.
You white guys solving everything here. Hey, let's see us live. Come to a show live.
The jokes are so good. The shows are great.
Everybody
the podcast is mediocre at best, but the jokes are fun, and I'm writing.
Every show's fun. Everybody loves them, except for people who were there wingmanning for their horny friend. Other than that, everybody loves the shows.
I mean, every show's got a few people going, meh.
Sure. I would imagine, yeah. You just don't always hear about it. Yeah. Prefer that. All right, I'm gonna release this tomorrow morning. Very exciting.
Text me what time the show is tonight.
I will.
Hey,
bye, everybody.